Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome you back to another edition of our Anchored in the Word morning reflection. And today we are in Luke chapter 3. So if you have a Bible, I want to invite you to take it and let's turn together to Luke chapter 3. We're looking at verses 18 through 24 this morning. Again, that's Luke chapter 3, verses 18 through 24. Here's what the scriptures say. Many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven, which said, Thou art my beloved Son, and thee I am well pleased. Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. And then the list goes on with Christ's genealogy. So when we look at this passage of Scripture, I think there's one very simple fact that we can see laid out in the text. There's something that happens when people speak the truth. And it really can go one way or the other, and we're going to talk about that this morning. But let me give you a summary statement to just kind of get us started, and then we're going to dig into this concept of what happens when people are willing to stand up and plainly speak the truth when the people around them maybe are not doing what's right, and it's very obvious. Here's what a simple summary would be. People who speak the truth will experience both the blessing of seeing God's work accomplished and the hardship that accompanies the world's hatred for righteousness. Now, the person in our passage that's speaking the truth plainly is John the Baptist. And what we see about John's ministry is that John's ministry was both sweet in that he was preparing people for the Messiah's ministry, and he got to actually witness the Messiah's ministry, and he saw people follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It's also bitter in the sense that John's ministry was extremely short. In fact, it was probably no more than a year to 2 years long that John actually ministered in preparation for the Messiah's ministry. So he really started at the beginning of Christ's ministry, and then we see that John was beheaded really at some point in the ministry of Christ, perhaps maybe a year into that time. And then the time leading up to that, he was in prison. So John really did not have a long ministry. It was shorter than Christ's ministry, and it was a ministry that really was full of both sweetness and difficulty. So let's look at the two aspects of how people responded to the way that John was presenting truth. The first thing we see is that those who speak the truth plainly experience the blessings of seeing God work. In verse 18 it says, many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. And then later on it says that many came to be baptized of John, including the Lord Jesus Christ. We could put it like this. John baptized disciples, prepared the way for the Messiah, and he enjoyed the sweetness of seeing God get glory through his ministry. We see that he was able to witness God validating both Jesus' person and work as the Messiah. We see that in verses 21 and 22. He says, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heavens opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came down from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Now this is an interesting section of Scripture. In fact, this statement or this little section is in all four of the Gospels. But in this Gospel account, there's not really a lot of information given. It's not as full as some of the other Gospel accounts. Really, John's going to spend a lot of time on Christ's teaching and a lot of his ministry. So he just states very, very quickly that Christ was baptized, and when he was baptized, the Holy Spirit came on him as a dove, and God the Father spoke, This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. This is a clear Trinitarian passage because we see the distinction between all three persons of the Godhead. So we see the Son being baptized. We hear the Father speaking that this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And we see that the Holy Spirit descends on him and really anoints him for his ministry work as the Messiah. it's important that we recognize that when we talk about the Trinity, we have a distinction of person, and this distinction of person is something that is an eternal distinction of person. So we don't see that God was the Father at one time, and then he became the Son at a certain point, and then he revealed himself as the Spirit. Rather, what we see is Father, Son, and Spirit have been eternally distinct in person, yet eternally one in essence. And we see that in this text of Scripture. We also see that this is a clear validation of his ministry that was a fulfillment of an Old Testament text. If you go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, you're going to hear this. It says, "There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his roots." Now, it's a clear reference to the Messiah. The Messiah was going to come up from the lineage of Jesse through David. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and he shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with a rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked." We also know that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he goes into Galilee, and he on a Sabbath day he goes into the synagogue and he begins to sit in the place of Moses' seat, they called it, which is a location where someone would sit and they would read the scriptures. He goes to the prophet Isaiah and he reads the text, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and he's anointed me," and he goes on to talk about the ministry of the Messiah. And he closes the scroll and he looks at the people and he says, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your eyes." In other words, he's saying, you are witnessing the fulfillment of this text of the Holy Spirit coming upon the Messiah, and that's who I am. So Jesus is clearly saying in that moment that that's who he is and that's what he's come to do. But we see in this text that Isaiah's prophecy of the Holy Spirit coming upon the Messiah and filling him and strengthening him and anointing him to do the work that he's been called to do, we see that laid out in the text in front of us. And so John had the opportunity, because he was doing what is right, because he was fulfilling the purposes that God had for him, because he was willing to speak the truth plainly, we see that John the Baptist had the opportunity to witness that. He had the opportunity to witness people leaving him to go and follow Christ. And that was something that was really his purpose. That was the purpose of his ministry. And so really we can see that when people will speak truth, particularly gospel truth, disciple-making truth, when people are going to do what's right and fulfill their ministries, they're going to experience sweetness in that. But there's another side to John's ministry. And that's the second part of what he says. And what's interesting is Luke doesn't spend a lot of time on this because, again, it's not really the emphasis of his letter. But we see that he mentions in passing that not only did John experience a sweetness to his ministry, but he experienced hardship. And it's because he spoke the truth plainly. In verses 19 and 20, we see, "But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison." Now, Luke doesn't expound all of the evil that this man Herod was involved in. But if we were to go to history and we were to study this man's life, we would find that he was an evil man. He was a terrible man. He did a lot of evil in his lifetime. He abused his power. In fact, what we will see in this text is that he divorces his wife, he takes his brother's wife, and if history is right, his brother's wife was actually one of his nieces. In other words, this was an abominable act. It was abominable on so many levels. The way that he treated his own wife, the way that he treated his brother, and the fact that he was involved with a close relative. It was a debauchery. It was an awful thing. In fact, if we study Roman history and we study a lot of the history of that time, you will find out there were lots and lots of stories like this. People lived in incredible depravity. But John spoke the truth plainly. as he's calling the nation of Israel to repentance and preparation for the Messiah, John spoke plainly about the evils of their leaders. He spoke plainly about the evils of their religious leaders. He spoke plainly about the evils of their political leaders. And so when John spoke plainly and truthfully about the sins of the people and their leadership, the people who had power despised John. They hated him. They wanted to get rid of him. And so what does Herod do? Herod arrests John. He imprisons John. And later on in the story, not recorded for us in Luke, but in some of the other Gospels, we see that he actually has John, an innocent man, beheaded. And we can see from those storylines that Herod knew he was an innocent man, that Herod even struggled with whether or not to do this. As much as he felt the pressure and as immoral a man as he was, he knew that killing John was a horrible injustice, yet he did it anyway. But the point that I'm trying to make here is that this man, Herod, did not like John. He did not like John's ministry, and it's because John simply spoke the truth. One of the things that we see in the Bible and we see throughout church history is that when Christians simply stand for what is true and simply speak what is true, there will be people who hate God, they hate his righteousness, they hate his ways, and they hate his people. You know, there are many Christians who are disagreeable in the way that they hold their positions. We're not talking about that. We're talking about Christians who are just trying to live a godly life. They're just trying to peaceably live in the world and do what's right before God, to live in clean conscience before God. Yet the world does not have an appreciation for that. In fact, the world really is not going to allow that. You know, there are a lot of people today that are crying out for tolerance. You know, what's very interesting is people cry out for tolerance. What they're often calling for is intolerance towards viewpoints that rub them the wrong way. In other words, a viewpoint that says that act is an immoral act. That act is an unrighteous act. That act is an unjust act. That act is in a violation of God's laws and God's ways and God's character. The truth is that Christians are not in a majority and not in a strong position when it comes to their relationship to the world. And we see that in the person of John. We see that when John spoke the truth plainly, though many people followed him, Herod imprisons him and ultimately has him executed. And so what we see is that when people speak the truth, sometimes it puts them in a very tough place. Let's think about the life of Christ. One of the reasons, practically on the human side, that Christ was delivered up to Pontius Pilate and he was ultimately crucified is because the religious leaders despised Jesus. They didn't like his message. They didn't like the disruption that he brought. They liked the position that they had, the power that they had. They were very comfortable with the relationship that they had with the Romans. And they were willing to eliminate Christ and murder him, have him crucified, simply because they hated what he said about them. They hated his very presence. In fact, Pontius Pilate knew for a fact that Jesus was delivered up for envy. And so when we talk about speaking the truth plainly, we need to recognize it's our duty. We're to speak the truth plainly in a godly way, in a kind and gracious way, in a respectful way. But the truth can sting no matter how you present it. And the fact that a person lives in a way that's consistent with God's ways is going to stand as something that really rubs people the wrong way who despise God and his ways. So we see both the sweetness of ministry and we see the bitterness of ministry. And we're reminded this morning that if we're going to live as salt and as light in this world, we're going to experience both. We're going to experience the sweetness of seeing God work in people's lives and God work through us. We're going to see the sweetness of people being transformed by the power of the gospel. And we're also going to see people who despise the work that's being done. And in some ways, it won't make sense unless we look at history and we look at the Bible and we realize that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And men suppress the truth and unrighteousness because their heart is bent against it. So here's the question. What can we learn today from this text of Scripture? Let me share with you three things that I jotted down as I reflected on this little lesson. The first is this. We learn from this passage the importance of speaking the truth plainly and consistently. Even though John really ultimately died because he spoke the truth, it was his duty. It was the purpose that God raised him up for. It was the reason God positioned him at the time that he did in preparation for the Messiah. And you know, he was faithful. And that's what we need to be. We need to be faithful people. It may be that we live a long time and we never experience hardship on that level. And that's what I hope happens for all of us. But the fact is that we need to speak the truth and we need to speak it in a way that honors the Lord. Secondly, we get a glimpse into some of the great lengths God took to validate Christ's person and work. So what's really interesting is this text isn't really about John, it's about Christ. And so when we look at Christ's life and we look at Christ's ministry, John validated Christ's ministry when he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." God the Father validated the Son's ministry when he said, "This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And the Holy Spirit validated the ministry of Christ, where people were able to actually see that there was the presence of the Holy Spirit coming upon the Messiah and was anointing him for his messianic ministry and was validating who he was, what he came to do, and how he was the fulfillment of all of those Old Testament prophecies. The third thing that I jotted down is that we're reminded that those who speak the truth will see both God's rich blessings and the world's vicious attacks. And so I want to encourage you to be a faithful disciple of Christ, to live out the truth day by day in a very simple, godly, and humble way, to speak up and to speak the truth when God calls you to do it, and to be willing to both enjoy the blessings that are associated with God working through us, and also be willing to stand firm and strong when the world hates and viciously attacks the truth that we represent and that we hold dear to our hearts. I hope that this has been a challenge to you this morning. As I thought about it, it was a tremendous challenge to me. Lord willing, we'll continue our study tomorrow. Let's bow for a word of prayer and ask God to help us to remember and live in the light of these truths. Father, thank you for the opportunity to study the text in front of us. Help us to be faithful. Help us to do what's right, even if it's going to cost us something. And Father, we thank you for the opportunities that we will have in the years to come, in this new year, to see how when we speak the truth and love, how we proclaim the gospel and help Christians grow, that there is a sweetness in watching you work in lives and your power being demonstrated. Thank you that we get to be eyewitnesses of that as we faithfully serve you. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, Lord willing, tomorrow we'll continue our study and we're going to talk a little bit about the genealogy of Christ and the significance of that and really the difference between Matthew's genealogy and Luke's genealogy and really why that's important. Hope that you have a great rest of your day by now.